In the introduction to his new book, A People's History of the American Revolution, Ray Raphael promises to illuminate the real people, not paper heroes, who made and endured the American Revolution. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says the bright light Raphael shines on the common folk of the colonial era isn't always flattering.
I've wanted to read about the American Revolution for a long time, but Ray Raphael's new book, A People's History of the American Revolution, wasn't exactly what I had in mind. Instead of visions of yeoman farmers clasping copies of Tom Paine's Common Sense to their bosoms as they rose up against British tyranny, Raphael's book has left me with troubling images of legions of lice-infested teenagers, most of them signing up to join the Continental Army because they were too poor to entertain other options. Ethan Allen, it turns out, was a swaggering ruffian, the kind of bully who threatened judges by stripping naked in court and cursing. His famed Green Mountain Boys were originally formed as a vigilante property owners association. It's a good thing Raphael's People's History focuses on what he calls the rank and file rebels, as opposed to the founding fathers. Otherwise, I'd have no illusions about them left either. I'd probably find out something awful, like that Thomas Jefferson slept with his slaves. Revisionist history written from the bottom up is nothing new. In fact, Raphael's book is part of a projected series of people's histories whose overall editor, historian Howard Zinn, helped to, in his own words, turn history on its head with his book, A People's History of the United States, which encapsulated the work of the post-1960s generation of historians. But there's revisionist history, and then there's really revisionist history. In a recent cover story for The New Republic, historian Sean Wilentz criticized what he referred to as David McCullough's biographical Valentine to John Adams and disparaged documentarian Ken Burns and others who used the techniques of revisionist history, multi-voiced accounts that include women, people of color, and the lower classes, to produce what Wilentz called a passive, nostalgic spectacle. Raphael, in contrast, is relentlessly aggressive and unsentimental. He takes the traditional narrative of the American Revolution and shatters it into rough and contradictory but mesmerizing fragments. If a PBS documentary were ever made of Raphael's book, exploding cannons and heated arguments rather than soothing fiddles would have to provide the soundtrack. For this contentious history, Raphael draws on letters, diaries, and testimonies left behind by runaway slaves, Native Americans, and ordinary soldiers, like Joseph Martin, a Connecticut farm boy who recorded the conditions at the Battle of White Plains in the fall of 1776. To have to lie, as I did, almost every night, on the cold and often wet ground, without a blanket, and with nothing but thin summer clothing, was tedious. In the morning, the ground would often be white as snow with hoar frost. All that could be done was to lie down, if one could lie down, take our musket in our arms, and place the lock between our thighs, and weather it out. Some of the most unsettling sections of Raphael's book deal with the experiences of lower-class women during the Revolution. As Raphael points out, a fair amount of scholarship has been devoted to things like the patriotic spinning circles sponsored by the ladies of Philadelphia and Boston. But historians, he says, have largely ignored the lives of illiterate women, like the camp followers of the Continental Army, who often with children in tow, cooked and laundered for the soldiers and nursed the sick. For decades after the war, these women, together with the widows of ordinary soldiers, were denied Army pensions. And Raphael ferrets out the scant testimonies of the victims of rape, mostly women and girls without social standing, who were considered fair game by both British and American soldiers. The voices of the dead that speak in A People's History of the American Revolution really bring to life the message that the Revolution was a civil war, fought by people for a host of reasons, some noble, some self-serving. But in addition to the voices Raphael calls up, the numbers he quotes have a mournful eloquence all their own. More than 25,000 soldiers are estimated to have died on the American side during the Revolution. And since roughly 50% of the population then was under the age of 16, teenagers, and especially poor teenagers, constituted a disproportionately high share of the men who fought and died. Those figures really changed the pictures I once had in my head of Valley Forge and Yorktown Heights. Raphael's vivid fragments of our nation's founding generation never quite come together into an overarching synthetic account of the political implications and motivations of the revolution. But the nervy energy of this people's history is an arresting antidote to the air of self-satisfied triumphalism that so many Americans casually assume each July 4th. Things weren't so easy on July 4th, 1776, inside or outside of Independence Hall.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A People's History of the American Revolution by Ray Raphael.